Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? Made it out in all this ugly weather, cold and rainy. This is what we call soup weather. This is soup weather right here. That's right, grill. This is this kind of weather. You either want some chili or some soup and grilled cheese sandwich and just get you a nice blanket, pop on the couch, and watch something that was made in the 70s or 80s. That's the kind of weather. So that's exactly right. A little house on the prairie or... We had it on the channel the other day, and Little House on the Prairie popped on. And I told my kids, I said, anytime I see Little House on the Prairie or The Price is Right, I'm thinking I must be home from school sick today. Because that's the only time I got to see that was when staying at home sick. So are you guys enjoying this study in Genesis? Are we getting anything out of it? Is it... You know, Randy, the problem I've got is I'm left-eared, and this is on my right. I didn't know you could be left-eared. I'm left-eared, and it keeps popping off. I might have to get a handheld. I don't know, because it keeps. I'm fighting it. Can you get me a handheld? I'm sorry, brother. All right. Well, has everybody's been in these? I won't repeat if we all here. So have we all been here? We sort of up to speed. We've broken it up into three different areas, right? We said the beginning was the start of reality. Now we're in dominion. We're going to finish up dominion, and we're going into innocence lost. And there's just, you know, as Pastor Andy was talking about this morning, it's just so much in.
Give me a second.
Hello, 1, 2, okay. There's just so much in Genesis. I'm telling you, you could spend a year studying it and never get everything that's in here out of it. So it's just absolutely amazing. And when you start to seeing how it's so pragmatic and relevant for our living today, it's pretty cool. All right. That way I don't have to fight that thing. All right, so we got into talking about dominion, how, you know, God establishes the earth, he creates it, he creates man, and then he sort of builds a house and he hands over the keys and says, all right, it's yours, right? And so it's for us to manage and have dominion over. And so what we've been talking about, there's three things about this thing of dominion. It's what is it? Well, what are we to do? How are we to do it, and why are we to do it? So that's sort of where we're at. So we started down the what last week, and we talked about, well, we're to multiply, which means it's to increase. You know, and we talked about what do you multiply? How do you duplicate things? You appreciate it, you duplicate it. That's how you, anything you appreciate, you're going to duplicate. Any feature, anything you focus on, it tends to grow, don't it? It's like a magnifying glass. You ever noticed if you start focusing on the negative things, what do you see more and more? And if you start focusing on the positive things, what do you start seeing? Positive things. And it's just amazing. And you know, there's actually a psychological reason for that. Have you ever bought a brand new car or new to you? And then you start driving away from the car lot, and the first thing you notice on the road is everybody else is driving that same car. And you never noticed that before, did you? Well, what it is it's brought it to the forefront of your mind. Now you are aware of it. And now you, you know, they tell us that there's 2 million bits of information hitting our senses all at one time, all the time. You know, and we cognitively can't think but about four things at one time. So what does that tell you? We're missing a lot. Well, I miss a lot. You know, Gina says, you ever want to lose something, just tell Terry, and it'll get lost. It's just gone forever. You know, she jokes because she cares. But anyway, that's what we're to do. We're to multiply. We're to fill the earth, which we said that means to maximize our territory. You know, we talked about what does it mean to maximize our territory, and we went into that. And now we got down to... last week, the last thing we didn't finish was that whole thing about subduing the earth. That means to put the kibosh on it. You know, the Hebrew word for subdue is to what? To kibosh. I love that because it reminds me of some slang we used to use around the house. Hey, Terry, you going out to play golf? No, the wife put the kibosh on the plans. You know, she subdued it. She brought it under wraps. So what did we say? How do you subdue something? How do you bring it into submission in an ethical way? In a moral way, if we're charged to subdue something, then how do you do that? What does that look like practically? Give me some feedback this morning, because we all know what it means to just go in and beat your chest and, you know, start knocking over. I mean, anybody can, but that's not what Jesus did he? How did Jesus subdue you, Vicky Logan? Just so we're clear on who I'm talking to, how did you get subdued? How did he put the kibosh on Vicky? I don't know. Beats me. It's a modern day miracle. Anybody, how did Christ subdue you? He reached you with his love. He reached you with his love. I'll break that down. What does that mean? He accepted you in the current condition you were and didn't make you feel any less than or rejected. And he gave you not only a good feeling, but actually an actionable pathway to change what you knew you didn't like anyway. That's all. Yeah.
That's what I was.
And she's, I know. She stole it. She was looking over your, and I saw her looking at your paperwork, and I said, you know, Vicky's not going to get the grade on this. That's not right. That's just not right. Huh? Yeah, that's right. That's just wrong. Why would he do that? Yes. And you felt love for the first time. Love for the first time, because, you know, it's perfect love. Now, what we feel most of the time and what we give, truthfully, most of the time, is not perfect, is it? It's not perfect. And the biblical thing for perfect is that mature, agape, unconditional, I don't care what you do, it doesn't have any bearing on what I'm going to do. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to love when what you're getting back is opposite, isn't it? We are animals, we're creatures that want to sort of do as we're done to, and what it takes something supernatural, doesn't it, to break that cycle? Because isn't that a cycle? You give, I give, give and take, give and take. Well, somebody at some point's got to break the cycle, right? Because if all we give is what we take, and what we're taking is toxic, and what we're giving is toxic, then what do we got? I think the prophet Ozzy Osbourne said it best. We're on the crazy train. For anybody that watched Braves baseball, that's what Chipper Jones walked up to, crazy train, you know. But it's like, you know, have you ever been on the crazy train? I've been on there, you know. I even heard it, all aboard, you know, and I hopped on. It's like, you be mean to me, I'll be mean to you. You be mean to me, I'll be mean to you. We'll just continue to be mean. It goes nowhere, doesn't it? But perfect love casts out all fear. And it's that perfected love, that mature love, that agape love that says, you know what? I'm going to give to Vicky, but instead of waiting on Vicky to give back, I'm going to stop and I'm going to receive from some other source. And that's how you break it, right? In other words, I'm going to do as Jason says, and I'm going to feel perfect love. He said, I felt it for the first time. He gave it regardless. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died and gave himself for us. And so he accepted us. I received this in my own state. I didn't have to clean up before I got there. I was already accepted. I got an invitation to the party, and they let me in, and I wasn't even supposed to be on the list. That's amazing. And then I got all this, and what happens? I give it, and it keeps coming back. And so now all of a sudden my eyes are off of Vicky, and my eyes are on him, and I have broke that chain, that crazy chain, right? And we can operate. And by doing that, we're feeling that command, which is to subdue, to kibosh. Because think about this. We talk about a lot of different things. We got a lot of different gifts, don't we? We have a lot of gifts. God has given us a ton of stuff. Salvation is a gift, right? What a great gift. We got all of these. We got a toolbox. We got an arsenal. We got a closet full of artillery. But there's one tool in there. My kids are always, they love these games, video games, love games, all kinds of games. And Izzy will tell me all the time, but Dad, if you play this game, this is the weapon you want. And it's like, why would I want that weapon? He goes, because there's no defense against this weapon. You always win. Well, what tool do we have in our toolbox that says it never fails? It's our secret weapon, right? I can speak with tongues of angels. I can tell you your future. I can see Chinese buffet at around 12:15, 12:30 today. I can see maybe an egg roll. I mean, I can do all of that. But what she can't defend me against is me loving her, regardless if she invites me to the Dragon Palace or not. She can't defend against that. There's no defense against that. You know, so if we want to fill this mandate where he says to subdue, to put a kibosh on it, then we learn our tools. We learn what we've been given. And our number one tool, our number one resource is that tool called love. Now, here's a question. How do you manifest love? How do you convey love? How do you give love?
The way I do it is, I know how I've been treated, and I want to treat people better than I've been treated.
Yeah, absolutely. So you break that chain. So here again, you're treating better than you're receiving. You give more than you've been getting from the people that you're ministering to, right? That's good. That's good.
And especially now, because like people are aggravated, angry, hungry, all that. So
really?
Yeah.
I run into people that are happy all the time.
You give them something they're not even expecting.
That's true. Yeah.
Smile.
Smiling in an atmosphere of non-smiles. That's good. What else? What's another way to manifest love?
Kindness.
Honor.
Respect.
Wow. Do they still make that in 2023?
They do in my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say that that value is made on supply and demand. What creates value is the supply of something and the demand of something. And I would say, it's just my hypothesis, I would say we have a world that's hungry to feel kindness,
yes,
to feel value, which is another way of saying I feel validated as a person,
yes,
to feel honored. That, hey, you recognize me, I'm actually seen here. And I would say that someone that would be able to give that to a market that's begging for it, man, promotion is just, that's an opportunity to be promoted, it seems like to me. But why do we not do it? Now, there's a question. Well, if because it don't take a prophet to look out and say, well, people aren't happy. People are starving for love, to feel honored, to feel validated, to feel recognized, to feel... So what's challenging us, not you particularly, but fear, fear of rejection, fear of judgment, fear that it won't be received, fear of it costing you more than you budgeted for. Yeah. You ever ask someone how they're doing and then regret it right afterwards? Yeah. It happens. Yeah. Because sometimes you had a 30-second budget and they had like a 30-minute, you know, opening. You know, but you asked for it, but they needed it. And so you just have to, but yeah, fear, yeah. It's one, you know, and the other thing is, the world's definition of love is not our definition, which is informed by Christ's definition, is it? And so what stops me, I would say, is I know they're in the market for a thing called love, but what I've got is a genuine article, and sometimes I'm wondering, they have been consuming the fake for so long, will they taste the real thing anymore? Do they have an appetite for the real thing? So that's what's going on in the back of my mind. I'm not saying it's right, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, because one of my things is, can you love someone and lie to someone? Can you lie to someone and love them at the same time? I don't know. I don't think lying is loving.
No, it's lying is not loving, but that wouldn't be a question.
Well, I'm talking about manifesting, giving. Is I can't be giving you love and lying to you at the same time. Right? Well, that's what we're talking about. We're contrasting between genuine and this counterfeit. And here's where sometimes I just struggle. I was like, you ain't going to like what you keep asking me, because you keep asking me binary questions, questions that have absolute yes, no. And are you wanting to feel good, or do you want me to love you? Because sometimes medicine, I've taken medicine that I felt worse right afterwards, but it cured my problem. You ever had gout? You ever had kidney stones? You ever had, I'm going through my whole ailment of stuff. You ever had a, you ever had psoriatic arthritis, you know? But my point is, sometimes to get what was ailing me fixed, there was a season I had to sort of like, all right, take your medicine, boy. You know what I'm saying? Because the placating to it and the sort of just being gentle around it and not addressing it, well, while that might felt better in the moment, long term, I still got the issue. So what I needed was to be loved on by this medicine. And in our world, here's my head. The medicine I need is the medicine everyone needs. And the medicine is called truth. Right? Because it's truth that does what? Whee! Right? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I have not always reacted to truth in the most positive way. Don't tell me that, Vicky. It don't make me feel good. Make me feel good, Vicky. And sometimes Vicky's got to look past. And so what I'm saying is this. Sometimes the cost of loving means I have got to be willing to accept the pain to give love. Because sometimes the feedback to loving is not a positive feedback. In other words, I feel loved and I feel accepted and I feel gracious and I feel warm and I get all this warm and fuzzy stuff because I'm actually loving. Sometimes it's the right opposite. And I would submit that's probably more times than not, at least why I struggle with loving. Not in a harsh way, not in a mean way. Was you going to say something?
What we haven't received.
Absolutely.
And we can know Christ, walk in Christ, but not have
The full maturity, yeah.
So, there's a lot of hurt in here, disappointment, rejection, all these things that we faced throughout life, builds walls.
Yeah.
And those walls keep us from reaching out to each other, even though I know that's what I need. I know that's what she needs. But because of the walls between us, we can't reach each other.
Yeah.
So the answer is go to him.
Yeah.
Get the walls healed.
Yeah.
Bring them down. Repent. Let God wash them. And then, when the walls are down, so like you said, we're free.
Free! Oh, you better believe it.
But
yeah.
It talks about speaking the truth in love. I've always understood that about what Vicky's talking about, this relationship and developing, having a level of relationship and having a level of trust that's so strong.
Yes. Yes.
And so you can receive this even if it's a little difficult.
Yes.
Because otherwise they're going to, if they don't know that you love them, or if you don't have that relationship, maybe they'll hold back a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
It can't be received.
Yes. That's a very good word. Very good word. And I totally agree. Because Paul's talking not only about the content, but the context, there's a way of saying things truthfully without being hurtful, even when I don't have a relationship. I would say, for me, the area that he's saying subdue, the area he's saying do that, it's one of the things, Gina, there's many times I'll say, how do I speak into the situation? Be truthful. But truthful to the degree that it's accepted, because I don't have the relationship that I can go but so far here. Don't have the right to, but I'm being put on spot. So it's in those areas I'm bouncing, where's wisdom at here? Because I've got to figure out how can I stay true to who I am and who I'm called to be and what I know is true, but not let this person walk away feeling like I just validated something that I did not validate. And it's getting harder and harder to do that. But I totally concur with what you're saying there, brother, for sure, and Vicky as well. So when he says to subdue the earth, we're talking about expressing love. Now we've gotten into how do we do that. Verse 29 and 31, I want to read that real quick, chapter 1. So we can get out of this and going into the next section for next week. But chapter 1, he says this, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. We've just covered that. Have dominion over the fish and sea. And then verse 29, this is what we're going to talk about for the next coming moments on how this, and we talked about what it looks like, being fruitful, multiplying. And then he gets into, I feel like, how this is to be fleshed out a little bit. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with the seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything, and he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the sixth day. So here's what I was able to sort of extrapolate from that, the meaning I was able to get out of it, see what you guys, how this hits you, and give me your feedback. But one of the things, if how am I to perform this task, this mandate he's put on me pre-fall, and I feel like is our promise post-fall of having dominion over the earth, is it's wrapped up in that first sentence there, first phrase in verse 29, and God said, right there, and it got into what you was talking about, and God said, here's the point. John says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 29, when he's getting into how to flesh this out, we know, biblical scholars, what does the word there mean? What is that? That logos, right? That's the logos, right? And I just, because of my makeup, always think of, you know, when I think of the logos, I know there's all kinds of teachings on this and all kinds of different understandings and perspectives, and I don't want to violate any of those, but here's where it comes to me. It's when I think of that word, I think of where we get the Latin root word from, logic. And I think about, if we really dig into God's logos, we really start understanding his logic, his rationale, his way of thinking. When the Bible's saying, put on the mind of Christ, how do I do that? Well, start understanding how he thinks about things. Start understanding how he rationalizes, what his perception is. Not my perception, but how he views things. And so how do I flesh this out? How do I want to do this? Well, the first thing it says, and God said, so the first thing is I got to listen, you know. That's just, and that's hard for me. I'm a talker by nature, you know. But so for me, pump your brakes, Wilson, and just listen, you know. And how does that come about? Well, we've already talked about this scripture a lot. But here's the other thing, people. You know, you know, there's a reason why God put people in your life. It wasn't just for, there's an actual utility for the people that's in your life right now. If we believe God's sovereign, and we believe that God has providence, which means there's nothing that touches my life that doesn't go through his fingers first. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right down to the people beside me. Even if they don't like me, even if they're my enemy, God says he can use them for my good. Isn't that amazing? Boy, don't that put a different perspective on things? If I could just get that in me. People are here for my benefit. Even the ones that don't like me. Which, by the way, they all have a point. Sometimes I don't like me. I wowed somebody the other day. They said, you know, you always do this. You're irritating. I said, you know, you got a point. And they're like, what? Well, the Bible says agree with your enemy quickly, right? And I was like, you're right. Sometimes I am like that. What should we do about me? I just sort of flipped the script on him. But isn't that amazing? That everything, everybody that you know, your friends, your family, and your foes, God says he can use for your benefit. The question is how. Have you ever gotten a word from God through the mouth and the tongue of someone that wasn't on your side? I have. So what does that tell us? That tells us I shouldn't shrink away, back away, pull away, stop loving, stop caring, stop manifesting Christ to everyone I come in contact, because whether they intend to help me or not, you're a help. Because everything that's in my path, even if it hurts, even if it's painful, even if it's a setback and disappointment, ultimately, God uses it. Isn't that amazing? That is just absolutely, it's an unfair fight. It just ain't right. But it's the truth. And so how am I to flesh this out? Well, his word, his people. Did you know creation itself is crying out that there's a God in heaven and he cares for us? Creation, it's all the Bible says it's groaning. What's it groaning for? It's groaning for Wilson to grow up. Boy, I wish that boy would get it. I wished he'd get it straight. Like, I don't know about you. I'm just know about me. It's wanting me to, that weos, that mature. Grow up, boy. Quit getting so easily offended. Quit getting so easily discouraged. Who did I say you were? Yeah, but Dad, they said this. Who did I say you were? But Dad, they said I couldn't do this. What did I say you could do? I tell you, and give us wisdom. One of the things that I struggle with is just assuming everybody reacts, responds, and hears the same thing I hear in the same conversation. I heard a Christian author, speaker, psychologist, he's talking the other day, and boy, he just rung my bell. And he was talking about parenting. Because I'm always trying to figure out, where did I mess up? No, I'm kidding. I got great. I joke with kids, but I could always be better, for sure. I got a lot of room. And he says, and he was talking to the men in the room. He says, Dads, he says, a lot of you guys, you're mechanically minded, you're engineering minded. I'm not an engineer and I'm not a mechanic, but I'm analytical. Okay, my mechanic skills show up in the computers and technology. It doesn't show up under a hood or something. Okay, don't ask me to work on anything or you'll blow a gasket. I guarantee it. But he says, men, he says, figure this out. He says, and you're halfway home parenting. He says, your kids aren't to be fixed and repaired as a mechanic. He says, and he goes into the psychology of it, and he brings the theology, and he says, do you know there's over, and he gave over 2 million some odd genetic codes and everything that make up their psychological and biological makeup, and you're only a certain percentage of it. He said, your family line has informed that child about their makeup more than you have individually. And for a second, I had to think about that. And he says, and my point is this. He says, God's called you to be a shepherd, not an engineer. And so we break the curse off of all the things that came through the family line. We know that as Christians. We can break curses and we can stop whatever, because the Bible talks about generational things and all of that and that nature. He says, but here's what you don't do. You don't go in and start trying to engineer and fix and mechanic and tweak this and tweak that. And here's the reason you can't do that, because I don't know where the parts are. I don't know which lever to pull. See, when someone tells me I can't do something, I sort of bow up at it, and it's a challenge. And I was like, you actually did me a favor. The reason I'm married to that short girl back there is because three high school buddies made a bet that said she wouldn't even talk to you. That's one of the Root girls. They own Liberty Press. They got money. You're poor so-and-so from Ruth, North Carolina. Nobody know. You know, they were just ratting, as kids do. And said, she's out of your league, Wilson. They were exactly right. She was. But what they didn't realize was this boy is a salesman. And I said, I'll have a date with her. She won't even just talk to me. I'll have a date with her by the end of the month. She won't even talk to you, Wilson. Now, anybody knows Gina knows this. It could be 85 degrees outside, and what is she?
Cold.
So it's November, and I've got my Letterman jacket on. I said, you look cold. Are you cold? I said, take this jacket. I hate to see a pretty girl like you cold. Next week, I said, you can have this. You want to use this jacket again? So all of a sudden, I developed this routine. At lunchtime, she had a jacket. And then I was buying lunch. I said, you know, we ought to go to the movies sometime. And I got that movies, and that dinner was paid for by Matt Guffey, Jamie Walker, and the flute player in the band. Can't think of his name. But that was the bet. And she, my point is this. I've always bowed up when someone said, you can't do that. My kids aren't motivated that way, some of them. Somebody tell them they can't do something, they need to hear you can do that. You can do that. Don't you let anyone ever put a finger in your face and tell you you can't do something. That's what they need to hear. I needed to hear the opposite. I'm motivated different. I needed someone to sort of push me back a little bit so I'd bow up. That's why we don't engineer. That's why we shepherd. because all of them are different. You got to learn that. And that's how I'm learning how to have dominion in certain areas and equip people to have dominion. So people, the word, he says this and he goes on, he says this. And God said, what does he say? Behold. Now, what does that mean? It means to look, pay attention, be cognizant of what's going on, be intentional. Right now, you know how much time we spend in a day just going through the motions and literally not present with where we're at right then and paying attention to? There's Vicky. Vicky's smiling. I wonder what she's smiling about. You know, but we just sort of, at least I do, we just go through the motions and we're not even I'm here, but this is way over there. And one of the key elements he's saying right here is behold, look, be intentional. Use your perception to see. There's things in front of you right now, Terry, that if you would just look, I will show you the secrets of the universe. I will show you and give you keys to unlock all kinds of things. Those prayers and things you've been asking for, he's telling me, is right in front of you if you would just look. And I can't get out of my own way sometimes. So I like that one. Third thing on how to do this is to believe. Because what he says, I have given you every. How do we do this? We believe. And he says this, every plant of yielding seed. What is he saying there? I've not only got to believe, I've got to gather what he's given. I've got to gather it up. I got to use it. You know, how many times have we've said, Lord, I'd like to have this. I need this. This is where I feel like we should be doing. And we're not using the things we know that he's given us. I have been guilty of that so many times. So many times. I got a vision. I got to see this. This is what I'm supposed to do. But I got this just sitting over there. And I'm thinking, I've used that for years. I've done that for years. You know, that's yesterday's. He says, what do you have in your hand, boy? Well, I got this, but what do you have in your hand? It's amazing that if we'll just stop. Next thing he says is to sow. Last thing is to reap. That's how we do this. So.
Something I thought about was, it's kind of like a metaphor for the nine fruits of the Spirit. That what he's given us is love, peace, joy, patience, all of those.
Yes.
And when you're sowing it, it means you're sharing it. And when you share it, then it grows in others.
Comes back. It does. It grows in them. Sometimes it comes back to you through them. Sometimes it comes back to you through other means. A lot of times. But you sow, hopefully, like you said, it gets to them. And it gets. But where to sow? We're not to, our charge is, you know, to the extent I've got relationship, I can sit there and tend the field and I can fertilize and I can nurture and everything if I've got a relationship to do that. But sometimes these aren't my fields and I'd be trespassing if I was over there plowing, you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes I just sow and it's like, that's someone else's field, you know, I don't have no rights on there and I see the big do not trespass sign on it that they're flashing up. So we just say, I hope that landed on some ground that someone somewhere will take care of, but we're to sow. Knowing that, you know, I love this thing about, he never put a caveat on the thing about sowing about what the ground did with that. And tied that to my response or my reaction or my benefit, in other words. Whether you use what I gave you or not, the way God intended it, God said, I did the right thing because I sowed, I will reap. Yeah. I sowed, I'm going to reap. You might not get anything out of it because of your faith, your hardness, your whatever, but I sowed, right? I sowed in faith, and I believe God can do. I loved you. I accepted you. I cared for you. I offered you peace. I all the fruits of the Spirit, I'm wanting to manifest and give. I'm just spreading it out. And it, laws of nature and tells us that it's going to fall on some rocky ground. Some people just, I've been rocky ground. That's not a judgment either, by the way. Man, I've been pavement. I've been the Walmart parking lot before. But whoever sowed it in faith, they're going to reap whether they got it from me or not. So I love it. All right, next week we get into Innocence Lost. It's very interesting. Something in this study that I'm learning, we're going to talk about, the fall and some new perspectives. I'm just now learning about this and that whole scene. And I'll leave you with this tidbit as we close. Isn't it amazing? God charges Adam to name the animals, right? He says, go name the animals, which we'll get into a little bit next week, where the power of labeling and being able to name something and give something a name, that's powerful. We don't really appreciate it for what it is. But he gave him the power to label, to name. And immediately thereafter, what did he do? He says, ooh, you need a helper. And what you're going to find out is, we always talk about Eve and being deceived by the serpent and yada, yada, yada. But here's a question I never heard asked. What was Eve doing talking to an animal? More importantly, what was she doing even thinking she could hear an animal speak? Everything she saw or at least heard about up until heretofore, as they say, was we speak to creation. Eve comes on the scene and hears from creation. And she hears from creation before the fall. So that is not a result of the fall. Hearing from creation, hearing feedback from the world we live in, was not a result of the fall. It's what she did with the information caused the fall, right? So it's very interesting concepts I want to explore next week with you guys. We talk about innocence lost, because what I'm learning is, this is how I'm losing a lot of ground a lot of times. It's not that I heard something. It's the way I responded to what I heard. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, and we ask you to just continue to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to what you would have us hear. Lord, anything I said that was not of you, Lord, just erase it from our memories and our hearts, and let only your true, unadulterated word and heart, mind, attitude toward your word come to us. And Lord, we believe in faith that every good word that we have shared with one another this morning and will continue to share throughout the service, you will bring to fruition, and it will go and do what it was called to do. In your name we pray. Amen.